And this is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fast 15. I got a lot of stuff to talk about here, but you know, this whole Ivanka Trump, she was apparently using a private email server or something for some emails. I don't know. I don't understand. Or I didn't understand anything about it. But CNN just had on, the host is Brianna Keller, and she had a congressman on. And after this interview, I now understand the entire Ivanka email controversy with incredible clarity.
You're saying that you think this is something perhaps much more personal, that you think this is because of financial gain for the Trump family.
I definitely feel that. I don't think he ever puts the country first. Michelle Obama
said it. Do you have evidence of that?
Everybody knew it. And everybody has seen it.
Congressman, do you have evidence of that?
And his family first, and their finances are first.
Congressman Cohen, do you have evidence of that?
Trips to Mar-a-Lago and the government paying for it, and trips to golf courses.
Congressman Cohen, Congressman Cohen,
do you? That's why the emoluments clause is in the Constitution.
I need to interrupt you, sir.
It's so important.
You are raising this question. Do you have evidence of it?
We have sanctions against countries. We wouldn't be selling airplanes to North Korea.
Congressman, can you hear me?
Even though he's fallen in love
with
Iran.
Clearly not.
And he's continuing to build missiles. Right now, we're in a dangerous situation.
Anyway, I feel like I understand the whole thing much better after that probing interview.
They're having a technical issue.
That was CNN very bad.
So I just to clarify what happened.
I don't care.
Ivanka sent hundreds of emails last year to White House aides, cabinet officials, and her assistants using a personal account, many of them in violation of federal records rules.
Right. That's what they said in the CNN interview there, I believe. They just said it very oddly. Okay, let's get into all the news here. Well, before I get to the news, I had a thought today as I was driving in.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I bring my lunch almost every day. I'm doing meal planning. I try to make stuff that's healthier for lunch.
Which is good, yes.
Yeah. And I bring in my lunch daily. Well, I ran out because, you know, we've got so much food coming in. I didn't want to do too much meal prep in advance of this week. So I was driving in today, and I had a craving for lunch that doesn't exist anymore. And I realized that that would be interesting to ask the listeners, because this is kind of a food holiday. It's a holiday of gratitude, but it's also a holiday of food. It's food-centric. Gosh, the more I thought about it, the more I wanted it, and it hasn't been available for several years now. There was there's a gas station right on the corner of 5th and Denny.
Uh-huh.
And somehow, about 10 years ago, they had a little tiny, smaller than this radio studio, they had a little tiny area that they leased out to a barbecue joint. And this barbecue joint, I think it was called Roadie's.
I think I remember that.
This barbecue joint, they had a sandwich called the Boss Hog. And there was something about the bread, the roll that they put it on. The meat was always just exactly what I wanted, the exact spiciness of barbecue sauce. And I would always be able to save it over 2 days. I would eat half. And then I'd save half for the next day. And so I would drive up there maybe once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always ask them, how's business? And the guys who worked there, they're really, really nice guys. And I could just, businesses never say.
Yeah, it's kind of day to day.
They never say, it's not going well.
Yeah, yeah. But you're thinking they're living on the edge.
But they would always say enough. So I would just promote them on the air, just because I wanted the place to survive, because I liked this one sandwich so much. They never gave me anything.
Right.
It wasn't a
payola.
It wasn't a whole payola scandal or anything. And then one day they were gone. And this morning, I was craving the Boss Hog, and I've tried to find something that good at other barbecue joints.
I was going to say, and it's so disappointing when you try to like copy something, or you're thinking, okay, you're in search of something that you remember. It's like, oh, no.
I was sad. I was just sad that I couldn't get that, even though it's been gone for probably, I don't know, 5-6 years, maybe even more than that. It's been gone forever. Do you have any food, any specific food that you can't get anymore?
Yes.
That you desperately miss?
So my grandma used to buy us treats because my mom did not buy the junk food. And so my grandma used to buy us cookies. And there was this cookie, and I don't remember who made it. I don't remember. But it was in the shape of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So it was in the shape of a piece of bread, but it was just a little cookie, like Girl Scout size, right?
Okay.
And it had peanut butter and like fake jam in the middle. And you would think...
Wait, fake jam?
Well, it didn't taste like jelly. It was like sugar.
Something sweet.
Yes. And there is
and
something
doesn't
about,
exist anymore?
Doesn't exist anymore. At least I've never found it since I was young. But I think of that peanut butter and jelly cookie because it was a cookie that looked like a sandwich. Get
cute.
It?
Sounds cute.
And I think about it often, and I don't know why. And I said, when you asked this question, I said the first thing that pops into my mind always pops into my mind, and I don't know why. It's ridiculous.
I do have one, too. Brock's Malted Milk Balls. They have to be that specific. Don't give me a Whopper.
Wait, those don't
exist? Don't give me a Malteser. Yeah, it has to be Brock's.
And they don't exist anymore?
No! You know, you used to be able to get it in the bin, you know, and weigh it. And
yeah.
Bulk.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
No, unless someone... Maybe
find
on Amazon.
It online.
No, you cannot... Okay, well, let me look online.
Okay.
Let me look online.
You can order them.
You can order them. But you can't get it on there. You should be able to go to the grocery store.
It's easier if it's online. Oh,
I'm going to look at Winco. That's where they have a large bulk section.
Okay, do.
For you.
Well, all I know is you can't get the Boss Hog anymore. That's something I know because that joint's gone now. I wonder what ever happened.
Yeah, Brock's Malted Milk Balls now, $35 for, oh, no. It used to be a lot cheaper than that, too.
5 pounds, though.
Like, for how much?
And I got to go buy five pounds worth? I used to be able to get 50 cents.
Jeez. But they're available. That didn't fit the category at all.
You know what? You made my day.
Okay, I'm glad. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to give a ray of sunshine. Anyway, if there's something specific that is actually no longer available, unlike Ursula's Malted Milk Balls... Something that you literally cannot get anymore. Just drop me a little text on the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. It was just weird how powerful my craving was for the sandwich that no longer exists. Unless this place, maybe they reopen somewhere else.
Oh.
And then somebody will let me know.
Somebody just texted in, there's a drive-in in Blaine. And somebody just said, Chuck's drive-in in Blaine, Washington. And that's true. You can't get it anymore.
But that's a place.
But it's a burger.
Mm.
It's like Dick's, but it was Chuck's.
Does nobody understand the concept here?
Maybe the only thing that's missing is your barbecue sandwich.
Jeez. Did I do a horrible job? I'm not talking about Zesto's. I'm not talking about a place. I'm not talking about Dag's. I'm talking about a specific food item. That was a dumb thing to bring up in the first place on my part. Okay, let's see. Let's get some of the news here in the fastest 15. Poll from CBS News. This is a shocker. According to CBS News, not everyone loves shopping for the holidays. They show that more women than men look forward to holiday shopping. Well, now, finally, we have some real news to talk about. About time somebody got down to business on the shopping expose. So CBS did a poll of thousands of Americans, and they found out that by a rather overwhelming amount, women prefer shopping to men.
Did they really need that poll?
No. The answer is no.
I find it offensive.
You should.
In an era of gender fluidity, that we try to break down shopping habits by gender. I find that horribly offensive, and I hope we drop CBS's network affiliation because of it. Next up in the Fastest 15, you've been a news lifer pretty much, Ursula.
Yep.
How about this stat? Of the 55,000 newsroom jobs that existed in America 10 years ago, 32,000 of them have disappeared.
That's
less than half today.
Extremely sad.
But there was a decade ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, Megyn Kelly has just finalized a deal with NBC News that will allow her to leave with the entirety of her $69 million contract.
So she can sit on the couch, essentially, for the last $30 million that she was still going
to
make.
Yeah, I saw some websites try to tie those two stories together today. There's no tie-in.
Which two stories?
The news jobs are disappearing by the thousands.
Oh, I think it's because
but
it's
Megyn
just to get...
Kelly is yeah. still going to get $69 million.
You just tied it in. You did.
Well, no, because I saw it tied together on a bunch of websites.
Yeah, I think it's just to show how, on one hand, I mean, think of our lives, how our lives would be. Our lives would be different if we didn't have newspapers.
Oh, I absolutely.
Mean, yeah.
Yes,
I mean, we really couldn't do our job very well.
Yeah. But I don't blame Megyn Kelly for any of this. Megyn Kelly built a singular brand. She had dueling suitors for her talents. And she did something that very, very few people can do. And that's to build something that was in such high demand. Now, turns out she was horribly mismatched at NBC. And the people who signed her to that contract should be fired. Because most of us predicted what was going to happen.
I mean, it just feels like it was yesterday when we were talking about how she is not going to be successful in that spot.
Right. Yeah. But $69 million is her payout. Wall Street Journal reporting today that she's going to get the entirety of that $69 million.
I just want to run back to this one real quick. Huh. We're getting multiple people saying that the cheesy British from Hoagie's Corner is an item that they miss. Which, I mean, multiple. Like, at least 5 to 10 people have said that, and I've never heard of it.
What is Hoagie's Corner?
I don't know.
I've never heard of that.
But at least 5 different phone numbers have texted me that.
Look at this. We've got, geez, how many responses have we gotten?
Oh,
we've gotten thousands and thousands and thousands of responses.
Okay, maybe tens and tens and tens.
No! We're up to hundreds of thousands now of responses. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, did you hear about the Casey Kasem family claim now?
Yes.
48 hours. Another CBS, the same network that broke the shopping gender breakdown. CBS's 48 hours is going to have a brand new episode this weekend where Casey Kasem's family is now alleging that he was murdered.
In Gig Harbor.
And, of course, they fought over his body. His body, remember his body was flying all around North America? It was in Canada. It was here in Western Washington. It was all over the place. And it's very sad because, you know, what I've heard he had is, you know, what my father-in-law passed away from earlier this year. And it's a horrible, degenerative, you know, Alzheimer's-like disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a horrible malady. It's an awful way. It's called Lewy body. And I believe that's what Casey Kasem had.
It's what Robin Williams had.
Did he have Lewy body?
Yes. Yeah. Lewy body dementia.
Well, having watched my father-in-law...
Horrific.
You know, pass away from Lewy body, this vibrant, you know, lifelong school athletic director and coach, and he and my mother-in-law had their great retirement planned with lots of travel. It's a horrible way to go. And so Casey Kasem reportedly had that. But this might be the last time, since CBS is bringing this up in this weekend. So it might be the last time they have any reason to play one of my favorite underground radio recordings of all time. Have you ever heard the Casey Kasem? When he would
yes. I used to listen to him in the Philippines.
Yeah, well, he would record these long-distance dedications. Mm-hmm. He would do dedications.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of my all-time favorites from him.
We're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio. And here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo... numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions, and then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a f***ing up-tempo record every time I do a death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. Because a god last time, I want somebody to use his f***ing brain to not come out of a f***ing record that is, that's up-tempo, and I gotta talk about a f***ing dog dying.
Oh, my. That's a whole nother side.
You know what? He respected the dog in the story. I appreciate that.
I know. You know what I don't appreciate there, though? How much did his producer or engineer hate him?
Right.
That they saved that and released it when he, I mean, I first heard that. That was like one of the earlier YouTube videos.
Or it just got saved because, I mean, we say funny things you say. And if not that they would be, not that they're rageful.
I've never done anything like that.
No.
But if I were to do something like that.
We would save it.
I do not think you would. I think you would protect me.
I
think
I would.
You would make
release
sure.
It.
But I don't know about Sean. Sean says all sorts of stuff.
I'd save it, but I'd be selective with who I had listened to it.
That's the thing is that it would be leaked. So this is
that's
leaked.
Why I never do that.
Nobody here does
yeah.
that. But
no.
I'm just saying, you save it because you're like, well, that was funny. And then it gets leaked.
I have tons of drops from most of the hosts here.
Yeah, but nothing like that.
Nothing like that, no. Yeah.
Well, because I don't know that they exist. But the other thing that's so sad, I mean, his estate was valued at between $80 and $100 million.
Yeah.
And they are just fighting over that.
Right. Yeah, it still persists.
That man cannot rest in peace.
No, give Casey some peace. Let him keep his body in the ground and keep reaching for the stars. That was bad.
Aww.
Don't save that. Do not save that audio right there. You delete that immediately. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
Sometimes I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then a listener, remember that guy who brought us that unbelievable, delicious, girthy corn on the cob? A few months ago?
A whole sack of them.
He brought like a tarp
yes.
filled with them.
Yes.
He got hold of us and he said that he had what he hopes we will really appreciate as a very sweet story as we go into the holiday season.
I love it.
And since he gave us corn, I'm going to give him a platform to share that with us. Coming
nice.
Up next on the Dory Monson Show. Remember, several months ago, I was raving because some guy, just some random listener, dropped off a bunch of ears of corn. And when I say a bunch, whew, it was a bunch. And they were just the thickest, the girth on these things. So I was raving about it. And now that same listener, Chris Larson, has reached out and says he has a pretty cool story to share with me, and he's keeping the details safe from me until we talk on the air. So Chris Larson joins us. Chris, thanks for coming on with me.
You're very welcome, Dory. How you doing today, my friend?
Really good. Where's your cornfield?
You know what? I go over to Yakima and get corn and distribute it to some of the military here on the west side of the state.
I tell you what, that was some of the biggest corn I've ever had in my life. That was awesome, man.
No, the Jones Farm out of Zilla, Washington. Okay. I'll give them the plug because they deserve it. They grow great corn.
Yes, they do.
And they're Cougs, and I'm a Husky, and it's Apple Cup week, so that was tough to say there. Go ahead.
I know. I got both Huskies and Cougs in my family. Okay, so you said that you also serve as a Santa Claus, and you had a really cool story you wanted to share with me.
You know, just little magical things happen sometimes, and it even turned into a Paul Harvey moment on top of it. But after doing a Santa gig for a local military, which is who I usually do Santa for, I was out to lunch with a PAO, public affairs officer, and the commander. And at lunch, I'm just going to say it out loud. Sometimes I pray. I pray before I eat. And being with some military people, they loved it. And so I said a little prayer, and we started to eat. And it was at that time, Dory, that this woman comes over, and she taps me on the shoulder, and she goes, "Did you just pray?" And I said, "Yes, I did." And she goes, "And you were just Santa over here at the base." And I go, "Yes, yes, yes, I did." She goes, "Would you come over and talk to our son? He had a moment in the new daycare that he's in, and for preschool. And long story short, the kids kind of gave him a bad time for praying." Oh. And so I said, "You bet." And I go over there and
now, are you in Santa uniform or civilian clothes?
I'm in civilian clothes, but you know, I was wearing a red shirt on top of, you know, just. You know, I look like Santa. I mean, doggone it.
Okay. No shame in that. Okay, so go and talk to the kid.
Yeah, so I go over there to talk to the kid, and, you know, his eyes kind of, you know, get like saucers. You know, "You're Santa," and in civilian clothes. And so I go, "Yeah, you saw that, you know, I was sitting there, and I had a little prayer before, you know, we ate." And I go, "Do you do that?" And he looks over at his mom and he kind of nods at me. And I go, "But do you do it all the time?" And that's when he just kind of sat there for a moment. And I know it kind of touched him. And so I go, "You know, sometimes I just do it silently in my head. When I'm maybe in a place where I don't want to just be too public."
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, he just kind of looked down, and I go, "You know, you're just a little guy, so it's okay to pray, but you don't have to, you know, be too public about it either." And I go, "What do you usually say before you eat?" And he goes, and he did the sign of the cross, and he goes, "Bless us, O Lord." And I went right in, "For these thy gifts," mm-hmm, "which we're about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen." And his eyes looked up at me like Santa knows our prayer. And it was just a moment of, you saw this little guy kind of grow a little bit, Dory. It was so cool. And the dad, you know, kind of jumped up and came over and gave me a hug, big military hug.
Yeah, yeah.
And mom, you know, she just melted in my arms. And as I was saying goodbye, this little guy reached up and he grabbed my hand, Dory. And he goes, "Santa, I know one more prayer." And I bent down. I go, "You do?" And he grabbed his mom's hand, and he goes, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And we all started with him, Dory. And we sat there, and we said the Lord's Prayer.
You know what? At a time when people of faith are routinely getting ridiculed or, like this kid, ostracized for their faith. That's a very cool story. I love hearing that.
It's just amazing. And I got to, as Paul Harvey would say, and now, for the rest of the story, I got approached by this mom two nights ago. She came up to me, and I didn't recognize her, and she goes, "You're Santa too," and I'd done a show. And she goes, "I just want you to know that our son and now his friends at daycare, they say grace before their snack because Santa said it was okay."
That's very cool, Chris.
I just can't tell you, man.
Oh, yeah, you can. You did. You did tell me. And you told me loud and clear and in a beautiful way.
I just think that at this time of our world that this should be shared. I keep too much to myself, and hey, I just thought you would be you'd be my buddy to and get it out there, my friend.
A little goodness like that is more than welcome this time of year, especially any time of year. Well, Chris, I really do appreciate you sharing. That's a very cool story, and I appreciate that you know, you're touching hearts one at a time like that. Well done, sir.
Thanks for letting me play well with others, Dory.
Okay. All right, Chris. God bless you.
Have a good day.
Howdy. That was listener Chris Larson, who had a story to share. Hope you liked it as much as I did. And I'd love to hear from you. The Online Trading Academy text line is 98973. You can share your comments, 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Text messages on the Online Trading Academy text line. Apparently, my old barbecue place is alive and well in Preston. So thank you for all the people, including the owner. The owner dropped me a note, but they're reopening in January. Had a little fire, I guess. But Preston, that's the thing. I can't go to Preston for a barbecue sandwich. Do you think...
Oh, that's doable. Don't act like that's a long drive.
No, I used to get one every 2 weeks. I'm not going to drive up to Preston once every two
weeks. Well, you could every month. And
no,
I mean,
can't.
It's not even a long drive. That's like driving... It's just a little past Issaquah.
It's not a little past Issaquah.
Yes, it is.
Oh,
it's like
before
3 miles.
It's before North Bend?
Yes.
Oh, I could do that. Okay. You know what? Here's what you do. You go to Evergreen Ford, X15, I-90, Issaquah, and then just go a little bit. Go get one of the trucks this weekend out at Evergreen Ford, and then go get yourself a barbecue sandwich. Except the barbecue place isn't reopening until January now. So, shoot! My best plans once again go awry. So, and one thing I'm very proud of with this show, one of many. I'm proud of a lot of things with this show. But you might totally disagree with my worldview on things. But one thing I think my listeners have come to learn is that I'm not a phony. I'm honest with you. And like I said, sometimes that honesty makes people furious at me because I don't take the Seattle PC viewpoint on things. But I'm not going to tell you something I don't believe. Let me give you an example of how phony and fake some in the media are. So Joe Scarborough, MSNBC morning host, when he was a member of Congress, he introduced a resolution, Congressional Resolution 270. The title of this resolution that Joe Scarborough introduced: condemning the racist and anti-Semitic views of the Reverend Al Sharpton. And here's what Joe Scarborough authored in this resolution. Whereas the Reverend Al Sharpton has referred to members of the Jewish faith as blood-sucking Jews and Jew B-words, that I'm not going to say on the radio. Whereas the Reverend Al Sharpton has referred to members of the Jewish faith as white interlopers and diamond merchants, whereas the Reverend Al Sharpton was found guilty of defamation by a jury in a New York court arising from the false accusation that former assistant attorney Stephen Pagones, who is white, raped and assaulted a 15-year-old black girl, whereas the Reverend Al Sharpton's fierce demagoguery incited violence, riots, and murder in the Crown Heights section of Brooklyn, New York, following the accidental death of a black pedestrian child hit by the motorcade of an Orthodox rabbi. Anyway, a congressional resolution condemning Al Sharpton as racist and anti-Semitic. The very same Joe Scarborough. Guess who he has on his show to discuss racism in America today?
How much longer Donald Trump's going to go before explicitly calling out this type of hatred and explicitly denouncing David Duke, explicitly denouncing white supremacists, and not doing it with a nod and a wink like he's done in the past?
No, I think that it is a very, very serious question you raise.
So he introduces a resolution condemning the racism of Al Sharpton. And now, just a short time later, because nothing that they said in the resolution about Al Sharpton has changed. It's all true. Al Sharpton, because of his racist anti-Semitic views, incited race riots that led to the deaths of people. And now on MSNBC, they turn to Al Sharpton as their expert analyst on race and racism. I don't know how you do that. I do not get how a host can do something like that and have an audience that trusts them. Oh, man. And then there's the president, Donald Trump. He was asked, and I don't even know why anybody cares anymore. The time, it used to be man of the year. Now it's person of the year. It used to be a big deal. Who's time going to pick? Who is the most influential newsmaker? It's quite irrelevant now. But still, the president was asked by a reporter who he thinks should be named Time's Person of the Year.
It's called Person of the Year, right?
Yeah.
It's no longer Man of the Year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. That's up to Time Magazine. I've been there before. I can't imagine anybody else other than Trump. Can you imagine anybody other than Trump? Huh? Have a good time, everybody. Thank you.
Good night. How does one talk about one's self in the third person like that? That's just such an odd thing to do. We have a lot more straight ahead of us in the... Wow, this is the... Hey, Sean, since this is like our Friday, are we doing all of our usual Friday final hour stuff next hour?
I was going to ask you that myself.
Few things would make me more joyful if we were to do that.
Let's do it.
I'm in.
Today is essentially a Friday for you and I.
Yes, it is. Okay, so we have a lot of news to get to as well as we steamroll into the next hour of the Dory Monson Show.